You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, fans. This is Irish Sports Talk. I'm Randall, and joining me today is Adam Sparks. Adam, how are you doing?
Not bad. I'm looking forward to my first trip to South Bend. Vanderbilt's first trip there since 95, my first trip period, so it should be fun.
Very good. Well, yeah, we'll be glad to have you up there on Saturday. Hopefully the weather will be nice, like it's supposed to. And Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit, well, you obviously cover Vanderbilt football, but tell us a little bit about maybe some articles you put out or what you do.
Yeah, I've been covering Vanderbilt since 2014. It kind of coincided when Vandy's head coach Derek Mason came in. So I've kind of been on the beat since his pretty close to when his tenure began. Vandy historically has been a team that has not won much over several decades, but James Franklin, everybody knows at Penn State, got them to three straight bowl games, a couple of 9-win seasons, and then Vandy has kind of been trying to match that since then. Hadn't had a whole lot of luck, but Derek Mason got to one bowl 2 years ago, and he's trying to get to another one this season.
Very good. And so far, Vanderbilt has had two impressive wins this year. Tell us a little bit about those two wins and how they're looking.
Yeah, it was two good, I guess, I don't know if I should call them warm-up wins, but you know, both of them were two pretty solid mid-majors. They beat Middle Tennessee, a pretty good Conference USA team, and they beat, they won that one, 35-7, so that was a lopsided win. They won the other one against Nevada, a good Mountain West team, 41-10. Both of those, you know, most people, I guess, including Vegas, thought both of those games would be reasonably close. Vandy had runaway wins in both of them. So this is as good of a start, I think, as they could have hoped for. They've run the ball reasonably well. Still have some questions if they can do that against a team that's got a lot more size than those two opponents. Kyle Shermer's been good, the quarterback. They've just been really, really good on defense. They brought in a new defensive coordinator this year. You know, they were going to be favored to win both of those games, but the fact that they won them by lopsided scores has given a pretty good dose of optimism to this program. And going to Notre Dame, I think they feel as good as they thought they could.
Yeah, definitely. And what were the expectations for Vanderbilt going into this season? Kind of what was expected for them this year?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. I think a lot of people close to the program felt like this could maybe be a bowl team. 2 years ago, they went 6-6 and in the regular season got to a bowl. I think there's a similar feel of this season. You know, I've said in all through the preseason, I could see this team at 4-8. I could see this team at 7-5. And the reason for that wide range is, you know, there's just, I think it's pretty wide open in the SEC East. There's Georgia, and then there's kind of everybody else. And when you've got that many toss-up games, you know, you got to hope you can win close to 50% of them. But they've got so many games, Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky, Florida maybe now. In the SEC West, they've got Ole Miss and Arkansas, which are the two worst teams on that side of the SEC. So there are wins to be had. I think there's probably a little more optimism of getting to a bowl now that they've won these first two than there would have been before those first two.
Yeah, definitely. And looking at the offensive side of the ball, who are some guys to watch for and who are the playmakers on this team?
Kyle Shermer's the most valuable player on the team. Quarterback, the son of Pat Shermer, the New York Giants head coach. He's an NFL-caliber quarterback. He's a senior, four-year starter. He's got an NFL arm, has a great grasp on the offense. His number one wide receiver is Kalijah Lipscomb. He's one of the better wideouts Vandy has had in a while. He's just kind of coming into his own as a junior. He's got three touchdowns in the first two games. I think he matches up as well as anybody does in the SEC, probably aside from Alabama and Georgia. Kalijah Lipscomb's a really good SEC receiver. Tight end Jared Pinkney has possibly an NFL future for him. The run game is kind of a three-headed monster. Their closest to a feature back that they have is Keyshawn Vaughn. He's a guy that that transferred from Illinois last year. He had a little bit of success in the Big Ten, but he's from Nashville, so he transferred back home. Got some pretty good explosion. Had to, is kind of shaking off the rust the first couple of games, but he had two touchdowns against Nevada next week. Vandy will try to run probably all three running backs and keep them fresh in this Notre Dame game. They'll try to mix up the run and pass and use Shurmur and Lipscomb as much as they can, or maybe as much as Notre Dame will allow them to.
And with those two running backs, do they usually get a series, or do they often come in and out on each of the series?
Well, that's a good question. So far in the first two games, it's been one back in, and he stayed there for a little while, pull him out and put another back, where one back may have one full quarter and then another back and another quarter. They haven't really changed them out during a series that much that I've seen. I wonder maybe if that changes up a little bit in this game. And I say that because the first two games, again, were blowouts, and you could kind of afford to let a guy get into a rhythm a little bit. I think they're going to need, maybe different backs for different plays, different backs for different situations. And I think there could be a little more of a wearing down effect on those backs in this game just because of Notre Dame's size and physicality. So far you've just seen one back at a time. I think you could probably see them mixed in a little bit more in this game. And I think you'll probably see two backs, two of the running backs in the backfield at the same time, Keyshawn Vaughn and Kari Blassen game. Vaughn is an explosive back, and Blassen game is more of a physical north-south runner that they'll use a little bit as fullback as well.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the offensive line. Had quite a bit of success opening gaps for these guys. How they've performed so far?
Well, the good news coming into this season is that they returned all five starters. The bad news is they returned all five starters. And by that, I mean last season was a disappointment for this offensive line. There was a pretty good amount of experience coming back, but they underperformed. They felt like they could turn that back around and take advantage of that experience this year. It's gone fine so far. I still think there's some work to be done. They've got some good older linemen. Bruno Reagan, the right guard, is one of their best. But Devin Cochran, who is their right tackle, he's just a sophomore. They feel like he's got a lot of NFL potential eventually. He went down with an injury in the last game against Nevada. I think he's going to be okay to play in this one, but that will be something to see because I think they're good in their ones. I think I've got a few questions whether or not they've got the depth to at least perform at a high enough level to compete with Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Notre Dame's strength is in the defense, so it'll be a good matchup for Notre Dame to see what they can do against these guys and try and stop their run. And then switching over to the defensive side of the ball, what is the strength on the defense and maybe a couple guys to watch for on Saturday?
Well, so far it's been kind of the pass rush, a lot of disruptive plays. They got six sacks against Middle Tennessee, and a defensive touchdown. They got a strip sack in this last game against Nevada that set up a touchdown. They've got six takeaways so far in the first two games. I think that's seventh most in the country. It's a small sample size, and again, it's against two mid-major teams, but so far, they've been good at rushing the passer, and they've been good in the secondary. You know, you've got to have both of those for things to work out, and they've been good on both sides of it. On the back end, Juwan Williams is their lockdown corner, one of the better corners, really the more underrated, but one of the better, more respected corners, at least by coaches I know in the SEC. On the front, they've got two brothers, Dare Odengbo and Dio Odengbo. Say that five times fast. Dio Odengbo, the sophomore, is more of the pass rusher. He had a scoop and score for a touchdown in the first game. He set out this last year with a hand injury. I believe he's going to play in the Notre Dame game. That kind of saved him up a little bit for that. But they've had a good pass rush from their outside linebackers. Kenny Hebert has been a guy that's got, I think, three sacks. He's got a strip sack so far, a disruptive guy. But, You know, the big thing about their defense is Derek Mason, the head coach, had called the defense. He'd been his own coordinator the last 3 years. This year he hired Jason Tarver, one of his old friends. They were former co-defensive coordinators at Stanford back a few years ago. And actually, I believe their last time to Notre Dame was in 2010, I think, when they went to Notre Dame with Stanford and won there in South Bend. So this will be kind of a long-awaited trip back for those two guys. Tarver has brought in really good eclectic blitz packages. He's mixed up coverages a lot more. He just kind of added another layer to Vanderbilt's defense, and they try to confuse quarterbacks, and they'll certainly try to do that with Brandon Wimbush.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern for Notre Dame. Seemed like they did very well against Michigan's defense, and then they struggled a lot this past weekend against Ball State, who they should have dominated in most people's minds. So that's definitely a little bit worried about going into this game. And you mentioned all the turnovers and sacks, and I did read one of your articles today about how they practice with the turnovers or the hustle after the play. You just want to tell us a little bit about that, how they did that?
Yeah, it was something that I noticed in camp, in preseason camp, that it's kind of a simple thing, but after plays in practice, they would blow the whistle, obviously, to stop the play, and then they would have guys that would throw flags, you know, flags like a ref would throw for a penalty, would throw flags up in the air, and then they'd land and ask, you know, what's that all about? And Derek Mason said, you know, last year we were having the videographers, as soon as the whistle was called, they would stop the tape. And, you know, in order to cut up those plays and review them quickly in the film room. Well, they were missing, though, who was hustling to the ball, who was running a second or two after the whistle. They wanted to see, you know, who was giving extra effort. And so whenever those flags are thrown into the air, the videographer is supposed to wait until they hit the ground to hit stop on recording the play. And so that's given the coaches, you know, a couple extra seconds. And it's been uniform among all the videographers, so they get to see the same view from all those. And, you know, it's encouraged players to run the ball, run to the ball a lot. It's encouraged players to hustle a little more. And otherwise, they'll be in the film room, and they'll see that guys just, you know, stopped as soon as they saw the whistle was about to be blown. And Derek Mason and Jason Tarver, both the D coordinator, has said through these first couple of games that they think a lot of their turnovers are coming from just running with a little extra effort to the ball. They've got, again, they've got a scoop and score. They've got a strip sack where enough guys were there to grab the ball when it's rolling around on the ground. They've had they've had three interceptions. They had one interception on a tipped ball where a guy just, you know, was trailing and was trying to get to the play, and that's why he was there, because he was hustling to get to the ball. They just had a lot of those, and they feel like there's just kind of an extra gear to this defense that they didn't have last year. See, two games, I would say at least the numbers would show that as well.
That's very interesting. I love to see coaches do things like that. It seems like a very small thing, but it seems like it's made a big impact and helped out quite a bit.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, the big question now is, can they do that against a team, not just like Notre Dame, but they have their SEC opener in South Carolina next week. They've done it against two mid-major teams. Can they do it against Notre Dame? I think the way that Vandy stays in this game or has a chance at all to win it is if they can get Wimbush to stay in the pocket, throw it into coverage, and try to get some turnovers, similar to how Ball State did. They've got to do what Ball State did to Wimbush rather than what Michigan allowed him to do, and that's going to be a big difference in this game.
Yeah, definitely. So looking at Saturday's game, I know it's still early in the week, but do you kind of have an idea how this game will go in the score prediction?
Well, I would say, yeah, we do a score in the paper. I haven't chosen a number yet, but, I think going into the week, I think Notre Dame was favored by about two touchdowns. I think Vandy will keep it under that. I'm picking Notre Dame to win, but I think it'll be a much closer score, maybe by about a touchdown to 10 points. I think Notre Dame wins. I think when we go into the fourth quarter in this one, I think it's going to still be in doubt. Vandy can win this if they can get to Wimbush and force him into a lot of turnovers. But I do think Notre Dame's just going to be far more physical than anybody, even close to anybody that Vanderbilt's seen so far. And so if they don't get a lot of turnovers, I don't see them winning this game. And it's just, it, you know, it's a hard thing to win up there. So I'm going to say Notre Dame by about a touchdown to 10 points.
Okay, very good. And where can fans read your articles or follow you on Twitter, maybe?
Yeah, my coverage is Tennessean.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Sparks.
Very good. Well, thank you, Adam, for taking the time to join us today. And glad to have yourself in this weekend, and hope you enjoy your time.
All right, I look forward to it.